Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. AfterBuzz show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about Season 4, Episode 1, The Return. We are back, and guys, heart aches a bitch. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I don't know about you guys, but like, I'm feeling, like, drawn to the center of the table here. I just want revenge for just, like, everything.
I think that's just more because you're a woman and not because of the Darkhold.
Let's burn this world to the ground,
yeah,
guys.
I said it.
I was trying to do a freaked out by the TV show thing, but then Taran said that. I was like,
yeah, because I spoke the truth. And this episode was, it was named, what was it named?
The Return.
The Return. And it should be named Hell Hath No Fury, because a woman scorned. This is just like what every guy thinks about whenever they break up, when you do something wrong. This is like every woman's song. Like, I'm serious. Beyonce inspired. Like, this was crazy.
Except that we saw at the very end of this episode that hell does have fury greater than a woman scorn.
And his name is Ghost.
Or I guess we're going to find out. We're going to have woman scorn versus Hell's Wrath.
Now,
Hell's Fury.
Yeah. There's a matchup for you. All of the superpowers in a blender versus the powers of hell. But before we get into that over in the prediction territory, let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, the Darkhold. And to the Darkhold's left, Taran.
Please don't touch my book.
That's not your book. It's Zach's book.
It was Zach's book, and I just stab him. All of you. Listen, I'm the one most likely to turn evil because of the Darkhold. I am Taran, in case you were wondering. Literally at I am Taran all across the social atmosphere. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, anywhere you have social media at I am Taran. Find me, the bathrobe heartthrob.
By the way, Snarf in the chat says, didn't we establish not to give Taran magical objects?
We did. I'm going to confiscate this.
Was that a conversation? Well, yo, but can we? It's just
no,
better
it goes
place
right here.
Right next
better, it's better in the middle of the frame. And to his left, Zach Wilson.
Hey, guys, I'm excited to be back talking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh my god!
You can find me
on the internet at that Zach Wilson.
Unfortunately, Jesse Klein couldn't be here with us tonight. But
I had to murder him for the Darkhold. So.
No,
no, his soul machines betrayed him.
They did.
His car broke. I blame the machines.
I feel like it's a combination of black magic caused by the Darkhold and the fact that machines can't be trusted. But you guys can follow him at Jesse Klein 1 on Twitter and Instagram and all that fun stuff. And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me, the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. We are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVMarvel, as well as an eye on the live chat. Zach's got you covered there.
Oh, yeah. I got you guys in there. I am excited. I'm sure all of you guys are excited to talk about what went down in this episode.
We've had episodes like this before, and what I mean when I say that is we've had episodes where we get about halfway through the episode and I go, wow, that was a great episode, and then realize we're only halfway through and I'm like, holy cow,
what more can happen?
So many shows could have just like at the beat when they escape the oil rig and like blast off, that could have been an episode out. It was such a strong moment, but that was the 30-minute mark. That was literally like, only halfway through the episode.
When Ada and Fitz got iced, I breathed and it cut to commercial. I literally breathed a sigh of relief and went, man, I can't wait to see what the next episode's going to bring. And then I look at the recording and I'm like, holy cow.
Can we have a
we
little
still
more
have
respect
30 minutes
for a close to God woman, because she has
are you only saying that because you're both attracted to her and very much intimidated at all of her superpowers
I can't
slash
wait
super strength
to talk about Ophelia, because when I say I'm in love, I'm in love. She's crazy. She's psycho. She was on her, if I can't have you, no one can. It was amazing.
You're into
it,
huh?
Everyone, yeah. First of all, crazy girls are like, no one admits that deep down we kind of, but it's there's like a small thing. It's a thing. Second of all, they're amazing in other aspects. Yeah, in bed. I said it. Listen, this is what I'm saying. Ophelia is just everything. I love her. She is quickly becoming a top three Marvel villain of all time.
Who would be above her in the top two for you?
I'm going to go with... Man, are we talking only media or comic book universe?
You're the
total?
One that put her in the top three. I don't know what the parameters of that were.
Right now, I'd have to go Magneto and Galactus.
Okay. So, yeah, definitely Eater of Worlds, I would say. Slightly above Ada, for sure. I went back and forth. I went back and forth because, Zach, you brought up last week that when she expressed emotion for the first time that you really felt for her. And I really felt for her at the beginning of this episode, too, because she expressed remorse. She expressed overwhelming joy and sorrow, too.
I mean, look, the moment she became, like, human, the moment, like, she, like, Pinocchio'd, I was totally willing to give her a blank slate at that point. Like, I was willing to be like, well, all the deaths before this are on Radcliffe, not on you.
And she explained it really well.
Yeah.
I was a slave.
I was like, yeah, I was totally on board for that. But then, like, she went off the rails in the second half
of
this episode.
When the positive emotions for her are immensely overwhelming, that she's not in, and the fear of death, like when it gets instilled in her, you know that when she experiences anger and heartbreak for the first time, that she's going to go off the handle, because they're overpowering emotions for people who have felt them all their lives.
Yeah, and she's new.
As the superior predator, she's basically an infant when it comes to emotional experience, and at this moment, literally everything positive is ecstasy, which means everything negative is just the world crashing down on her.
Overwhelming. She's definitely maybe a little overwhelmed, I would say. However, here's the thing that's interesting to me, okay? We see, this is an episode, when I say I dedicate it to women, I obviously, I'm not going to stereotype all women, blah, 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 political correct. But back to
Keep
it.
Keep talking. Yeah,
but
go on,
it,
go on.
What it comes down to is I saw the different aspects of women in relationship, and every guy out there can definitely relate. We saw Gemma act like she was spying in on Fitz to see what he would do on the bed with Ophelia. She was all up in that video, basically all up on his phone. I know how that feels, right? Then we also saw Yo-Yo like be like, oh, he didn't even care about me, and like now I'm calling her Daisy now that I don't care about her as much anymore. So Daisy, what?
You take that back.
Yeah, I'm done. No, Daisy. So doesn't she go by Daisy?
Goes by Daisy. I mean, take back what you said
Daisy?
About not caring.
Isn't that her name?
Continue your
sexist monologue. Go on.
Sexist. This is a relationship thing. This isn't gender.
People can be awful on both sides of things in a relationship.
Of course. Guys are horrible, but right now I saw the girls, right? So when Yo-Yo, first of all, felt some type of way until she heard about Hope. Then I saw Yo-Yo basically not listen to the voice of reason and go back into the framework, which was crazy to me, because that's girls do that during situations. I saw May friend zone the F out of Coulson. You know what I'm saying?
Like, she wasn't there.
I know she wasn't there, but even the way Coulson had a little expectation, it's like, did I try to kill you? And it hurt. Like, I felt Coulson's pain. Like, yo, he got friend zoned while I was watching. I felt like every single aspect I've had as a guy throughout my life happened in this one episode. So I'm watching it through the empathy of not as a person in the action, but relating to the emotions of this episode from a guy and girl perspective. This was breakup gone wrong. Like, they're sitting on the bed and she thinks he's gonna be like, I love you. And he says, no, I love the other girl. And then Ophelia starts feeling like the side chick. And it just all hell breaks loose. I've seen side chick go crazy. I've seen side chick go crazy. So I understand.
Teron can speak from experience.
I'm just saying, like, I
love What kind of people are you dating where they spy on your phone? That's just,
we're not gonna.
I'm not gonna get into that. I'm not gonna get into that.
But it was dated.
Look, Ada, like that moment when she like realizes, like when Fitz, that was such a great TV moment because you had Gemma spying on them, and so the minute he says, and we I think as the audience are like, what's he gonna say?
Yeah, he got so close.
Who's he gonna pick? And he's like, I only have room in my heart for her. And it's Ada went nuts. That was a 2-year-old throwing a tantrum. Except that 2-year-old has the ability to murder a lot of people.
She has the ability to teleport. She has the ability to electrocute people, to regenerate wounds. I love the analogy of her being throwing a tantrum because she also basically says, I clawed my way through that world to get to, you know, for you so that, like, I could become real and be with you. I chose you. And he's like, it doesn't work that way. You can't force someone to be with you. And she literally says, you're going to be with me whether you like it or not.
I'm telling you, remove superpowers. I've been through that conversation. Like, yo, I'm living it on it.
I just start using different dating apps.
Yo, I'm just saying, like, yo, this is the thing. It's craziness to me.
But yeah, heartache and breakups are hard enough as is. But like for I'm sure you guys all remember like the first time you broke up with somebody. It's overwhelming. It hurts because you've that's the pain of a first love. Not only is she experiencing her first love, but just emotions in general, but now first heartache on top of that and anger on top of that. And it just comes in waves. And it's too much for her to process, and so it just comes through, I think, as unbridled rage. Mm. Where earlier, she had mentioned saving a life was the best thing she had ever experienced. Like, that feeling of having helped somebody. Fast forward 2 minutes, and she's shooting people through the neck and zapping them with electricity and snapping necks.
So she, like, we know that she's, like, assembled this, like, I'm referring to it as, like, a Super Skrull set of powers, inhuman powers. So we see, like, so basically what we've established, she found and dissected Gordon.
She killed
Lincoln, took his powers. This is straight up, she straight up Sylored them.
Yeah, she did.
She has somebody's healing factor. Would that have been
Jiaying?
Yeah, Jiaying.
I don't know. Because
it didn't look like Jiaying.
She would have had to grab onto somebody and absorb their life force.
She got somebody's healing factor. It almost doesn't matter whose.
Yeah, it really doesn't. But, like, I'm also willing to bet that she got multiplying powers or really any given power that we've seen in the show prior to this point. And also things that we haven't seen prior to this point are really free game. We know at the very least she probably doesn't have yo-yo zipping super speed ability. But yeah, yo-yo's kind of in hot water. She was probably on her way to getting that when they had to bounce out of the framework.
Well, she has teleportation. Why would she want yo-yo zipping?
I don't know. I would want both. Because I think moving really fast would be a lot of fun. But yeah, teleportation is a lot more utilitarian. That's for sure. But I did, like, even though I saw the turn coming, because, again, that's kind of a common story thread within beings experiencing human emotion for the first time.
Sure.
Even though I saw the thread coming, I really did, for a brief moment, I thought, maybe, like, she could go on to have a normal life. It was just for a moment, because when they're captured and she's sitting there and kind of processing what's happened to her, And she's wondering if the S.H.I.E.L.D. team can ever forgive her for the things that she's done. And she says it in such a simple, childlike way. Maybe if they cause me pain to process their own, like, then that'll make everything okay.
It's a foreshadow.
Oh, and it's that to me, that was one of the things where I felt the most for her in this episode. I knew it was like, it's not gonna happen that way, but like, that just shows her very limited understanding of the realm of emotions. She thinks like, oh, if you make me feel bad, like, that'll make everything okay. Like, we'll be even in some way. Doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I've got to say, Mallory Jansen, who plays Ada/Ophelia.
So good.
Oh my God.
She's so hot?
She's beautiful
and incredibly talented.
Yeah, like, she's extremely talented.
I was bringing it up because, like, the amount of emotion that she has displayed and the broad spectrum of emotion that she has portrayed in this role over the course of this season has been outstanding. She went from playing a very simple, robotic, like, android that was just very simple, very easy to do, to every iteration of Ada has felt unique to what they were doing. It felt like it evolved and it changed, and it was a different person every time. Ophelia in the framework was different from Ada the robot, was different from Ada version 2, was different from, Agnes was a whole different person.
And then this version of her is also so different than everything that came before.
Is emotional, is childlike, is intense. Like, what she has accomplished with this role is next level, and she deserves every role ever.
You know what it reminds me of a lot? It reminds me a lot of Tatiana Maslany's performances in Orphan Black. You know, obviously Tatiana has to do multiple roles per episode, and that sounds so exhausting, but like, just in terms of the wide spectrum that she has played in this season, she's basically played what, 5 or 6 different versions of the same person? That's basically what, you know, Tatiana does in every single episode of Orphan Black. So it's really cool seeing other actors get to explore that space.
Let's not forget the fact that she's actually Australian, and she's pulling off the English accent, like the American accent, perfectly, because I noticed that in the scene where they're on the beach and she's very close to him, and I was like, wow, she actually is Australian, and she's pulling off this accent, which I did think was an incredible shot, because as we were watching, I pointed out the footprints, and there was no other footprints there, and that's really difficult to get. I think that one of the ultimate portrayals that she had as Ophelia in this episode was when she made out with the Russian and then started banging his head against the ground, and I was like, I love you. I love you.
Like, for a minute, it was that whole entire sequence was incredibly uncomfortable. Because it's like, she's a former robot who I think is about to bang another robot, and then
banged all right, his head against the ground until
and
it
then
just
yeah, and
smushed.
Then she crushed his head, and I was like, that was not what I, okay, yeah, no, he's, yeah.
But we've all
it
been
didn't
there.
Hurt him. He's
we've
fine.
All been there.
I mean, look, she got pleasure from doing it, so.
Yeah.
Fine.
Again, just the, like, a toddler throwing a temper tantrum. I'm also concerned at the amount that she's drinking, because that is a brand new liver. It has not processed any alcohol before. She has no idea what her liver is.
Yeah, but she's got a healing factor, so it's probably not even going to affect her.
Oh, yeah, like Captain America, he can't get drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, poor
Although,
Cap.
I guess it depends, because Wolverine gets plenty drunk.
That's
and he's got
true.
One of the best healing factors in the Marvel Universe.
I think that just says just how much he actually drinks in order to get drunk.
That's a good point. But it's like, Ada and Mallory Jansen's performance, like, it's funny because, like, those moments where she's like learning emotions for the first time, that was where I fell in love with the character. But mainly just because I was like, this is good acting.
It's again incredible performance, like, it's really great when you have a character that can make you feel apprehensive, empathy for and at the same time, like, terrified. And I feel
perfect
like...
Perfect girlfriend. Sounds like the perfect girlfriend. Call
but,
me.
Like, when she experiences the fear of death for the first time, and she realizes as a person, oh, I don't want to die.
Exactly.
Like, I have no idea whether she's given herself Jia Ying's regenerative abilities in order to stay young, which I assume if she was... If she happened to find Jia Ying, that she would have called dibs on that power for sure.
Well, but, just like any healing factor, as likelihood is going to keep you young.
But,
at least
like,
for
that
stretch.
Doesn't make her immortal.
Yes.
As I'm sure we will find out in the next episode. But that's prediction territory.
A lot of people in the chat keep making the same joke, and I feel like I'm going to.
Go for it.
I'm gonna shout it out, even though it's very inappropriate.
Well, it's not at all.
You might say that was superior sex.
But I'm tish.
Speaking of the superior,
let's
though,
talk about him a little bit.
Because here's the thing. I have to give all credit to the chat on this one because it was so quick. We don't have time to rewatch these episodes to do Easter egg hunts.
Oh,
and all
were there
that.
Some Easter eggs they got?
There was a pretty giant bomb of an Easter egg in there.
What is it?
Thank you to Desmond Johnson, who was the first person to shout out, and a bunch of people, other people, put it in as well. When he's talking, he refers to himself as a mercenary organization dedicated only to killing. Or he's dedicated only to killing.
MODOK?
Yeah. MODOK. MODOK. He is now existing solely as a head.
Yes! Oh my god, he's MODOK!
So I think they just set up the superior to become MODOK.
Oh my god!
That's interesting.
Now I understand why he's a head. Why they like left his head alive and not just made him a bunch of LMDs.
Gotta have a big head and little arms.
Or the MODOK like or they're gonna change what MODOK is, but he will be like at least a head somewhere.
Oh, that's so cool.
And that's not confirmed.
Nobody said that,
but
that's awesome.
It's a possibility. And you called out how there was going to be multiple.
Oh, yeah. At the top of the episode when he's just talking and you see the hammer in the foreground being turned over and over again by an unseen hand. And he's like, I'm tired of talking to myself. I'm like, there's more than one.
She did really quickly. She's like, I bet you $10 there's more than one.
Yep. And I still haven't gotten my $10 yet.
I never bet.
No.
I love you, Ophelia. I'm so sorry.
But I wanted to ask you guys how you felt when the multiple superiors popped up, because I think it's hilarious that somebody who was just so dead set on how much of like the perfect specimen he was now has multiple versions of himself that are, for all intents and purposes, pretty disposable.
Not only are they disposable, he knows that they're disposable. So it's not even as in...
He's like, I don't have my perfect human body
exactly.
anymore.
Exactly. he's very willing to dispose of them easily and doesn't feel, obviously,
How
anything.
How many do you think she made?
I think they're constantly making them.
Oh, the question is just where is the machine that makes these things? Like, she builds a 3D printer for human bodies. I feel like she could build one for robots, too.
Yeah, most likely.
And she very clearly did, because she made, like, him and the other LMDs super, super quick.
Yeah,
very quick. Probably, I imagine it's mobile. I imagine he has it with him, and he's just, like, photocopying himself.
In different outfits.
I mean, all he's got to do is go get a bunch of big yellow jumpsuits with flat tops, and then he starts aim. I should have said he starts aiming at a goal, but like, yeah.
But that's what it is. It's he's multiple. You know, I did think it's interesting that as soon as she becomes human, he sees it and then becomes aware that the programming's broken. Was there not another element to that? Was it something, if he hadn't seen her, would he have stayed within the parameters of the programming?
I feel like there's still a parameter set. Like, I thought she was just straight up lying to him when she said that he didn't have to take orders from her anymore. But I feel like there's still a parameter set to keep him from hurting her.
He didn't, because he didn't hurt her when he had a chance.
Yeah, and all he can do is kind of verbally taunt her.
The big question is whether he can hurt the our agent, specifically Coulson, who, like, we know he, like,
actively...
looked
like he was trying to hurt. Like, yeah. He was going after Coulson. Coulson would have died.
Coulson had to slice off his face.
With the shield thing, which you explained to me, which was really cool.
Yeah, the Captain America shield sliced off the face of the Robo Superior. That was pretty sick. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean that would maybe it was basically like his programming was tied to Ada. So the moment that Ada, like robot Ada, disintegrated
like,
or like stopped
existing. Yeah, but he didn't
feel
it. He saw her and then made that decision.
Feel like there
I think
were
he
two
probably
things.
Was. He probably doesn't. He's not fully aware of all the coding in him. But as soon as he, it's the kind of thing like where after that moment, even if you hadn't seen her, if he had tried to like kill Coulson, he would have been able to. But it was when he saw her that he was now aware, oh, that code got dropped. I'm free.
I feel like it's a two-factor thing. One, Ada's human now, so any sort of orders she had over him, that's good to go.
Sure.
With, I exception, the parameter of he can't harm her. Two, the only reason Ada would have been able to harm them is if they posed a direct threat to the framework. And I think that was sort of passed along to him as well. Like, he couldn't hurt them when they were unconscious. But if they're awake, they present a threat to the framework. So I feel like it's kind of a two-pronged thing. Mm-hmm. Although that might have just been Ada's programming. I'm not sure. Point being, I kind of really like that he's lost his humanity and she's gained it, but they are both broken.
They're hurt. Yeah. Can we talk about some good things Ophelia did, like save Mac, and Fitz was able to compel to her emotional side to do so,
yep,
and convince her,
right,
and
before
she felt
he broke up with her,
and then she felt regret, and she did feel these human emotions first.
And I love that he was like, can we go back to the positive emotion of having saved a life? Like, that's a good place.
I mean, that's the thing. She got some of the, like, the heaviest emotions, like, within the first 10 hours of being alive. The first, like, 2 hours of being alive.
Yeah.
She got fear of death.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Love. The joy. Love.
Obsession.
Yeah. Well, but, like, the joy of saving a person. And then heartbreak. I don't know if you guys all remember the first time that you ever had your heart broken. I remember it very distinctly.
Yeah,
it was not a pleasant time.
No.
You look back and you're like, wow, younger me was an idiot.
I totally empathize with her. Like, her hair's messed up and she just grabs the bottle and just starts drinking straight from the bottle. I was like, oh girl, there are other guys. It's okay. But, like, yeah, there's so much. I feel like we could spend the rest of the time talking about Ada and her transformation in this way and her progression.
We could.
From
we've
sympathetic,
been doing it most yeah, of the time
from
we've been here.
Sympathetic character to full on like rage monster, which
is also
she's at
just
now.
It was also interesting that how we revealed how she went about like getting close to Fitz and why she got close to Fitz. Not necessarily on purpose, but because, like, we had speculated that it was because of the way that he treated her when she was an android. But apparently that wasn't it. It was that she saw the connection that he had to Simmons and slotted herself into the academy exactly where he would have met Simmons.
Another thing I've seen with girls is like, yo, I don't want a guy like yours, I want your guy. Okay, I'm sorry.
It's real. Again, I feel bad for Ada in a lot of respects, but, like, this is the point where I also started feeling pretty disgusted with her, because you can't replace someone. Like, she was looking to take Gemma's place, and that's pretty disgusting.
Sure.
On a number of levels. And go ahead.
Well, I think at first she didn't mean to. She was this was, like, a robotic program trying to understand. It saw, well, this is the place where he formed that connection. If I go to that point, I can understand how that connection is formed. And then it, like, went off in its own path.
I would argue that intent doesn't really matter in this scenario, because she was still actively trying to replace Gemma and also murdered Gemma in the framework.
But in the framework, she was under the programming of Ratcliffe, and I think she did an excellent job of articulating that and explaining
that. She used it as a way to justify herself.
Sure.
It's... It's an interesting argument that could be made, and we could go into a long philosophical discussion about the nature of right and wrong in this simulated reality and whether or not she actually had free will. But yeah, we have other things to talk about.
Well, we saw what happened to Jess when he disagreed, huh? Right? The machines did not like him saying that they don't have a soul, and his car did not start.
This book is powered on souls, BT dubs, I'm pretty sure.
But speaking of Fitz, his arc in this episode was also fascinating.
Yes.
Because he's wrestling with two different lives and also having to come to terms with the horrible things he did. And ultimately, the conclusion that he comes to is, I'm no better than Ward. I am just like him.
But we all are. It's like nature versus nurture, right? So the nurturing part is, if this had happened, who would you become? A lot of us always think, oh, well, if I walked a mile in your shoes, I would have done this instead. Yeah, but you're not walking the entire experience in that person's shoes. Like, use their legs and their personalities and their experiences and then walk. So it's very easy to always say, well, I would have done this instead because, well, look at where you're at. Well, if Fitz had had a situation where he was raised by the father that he had and was in the world that he was in, well, then this is the Fritz is who we come out with.
Well,
what we saw what happened with Ward.
The other thing about it is that even though Ada tries to justify it by saying it was a simulated reality and I didn't understand the repercussions of what this would do to you, that doesn't change the fact that there are also real-world consequences of he murdered Agnes and his actions also caused Mace to die.
Yes.
And it's not just that he did horrible things to not real people in the framework. There are actual people who are dead now because of this simulation that he was under, and that's something he has to live with. And we kind of glossed over it last week, but he told the love of his life, you are nothing to me, and held a gun to her head
and shot her leg.
Yeah. And now he's
love that guy.
He can't understand, like, he's like, I don't know if she could ever look at me. How could she stomach me after everything I did to her?
Because he is that person. We all have the whole concept of Jekyll and Hyde was that we have this dual nature within us and we contain the monster for the humane. So what happens when you let the monster go? Now we know with Fitz what that monster is. That monster is Fritz. That monster is that framework Fitz that was able to do such horrific things with ease. That's a part of him. Whether he likes it to be or not, that is who he really actually is deep down inside at some point. But one thing he did that was redeeming was when he was in a situation with Ophelia where I would have just totally given in, he actually stayed and said, I love Gemma. And that's also the real thing.
I would have been really disappointed if he had picked her, because I would have been like, I'm watching this show for 4 years and they and he chooses someone else.
I would have been okay with them like having him struggle with it a little more.
Yeah.
Like, we're about to have our season
finale.
Yeah,
we've got one episode left this season.
But like because he did from his perspective, he spent just as much time, if not more time with Ophelia and in a romantic thing with Ophelia. Now, that's not the real world, but those memories are just as cemented in his brain as
May
the real world.
May is good to point that out. It's very much living in both worlds. So
it's not a dream. To them, it doesn't feel like a dream.
And talking about great performances. Yeah. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, like from the chat, Geek Talk with Rachel says, if I woke up from a dream and I'd been the killer, I'd be completely frazzled. And I think anybody would. But this doesn't even feel like a dream.
It was
like,
real.
It's a memory.
We've all woken up from dreams that were a little too real. And you're just like, uncomfortable for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then reality sets in. But this is not like, oh, it's a dream and I can forget. These memories are as clear as your memory of what you did yesterday.
Yeah.
And that has to be a scary thing to deal with, because the brain is a powerful thing. And if it cannot distinguish between the memories that are real and the memories that are fake, even if intellectually you know them, it's going to affect who you are as a person. It's going to affect your emotions. It's going to affect how you deal with people, how you think. None of them are going to be the same as they were.
Yeah, and again, talking about great performances, Ian de Kestecker knocked it out of the park in this episode in terms of, like, feeling the emotional weight.
Who's and that?
Fitz gave a great performance, and Simmons gave a great performance.
Okay, thank you.
They had so much... It was basically, for Gemma in this episode, it was basically all emoting. And, like, they had a very emotionally powerful scene together at the very end of the episode without exchanging a word. It was just all acting, and it was all really expression. Great. It was really
Gemma
great.
Was really quick to shoot both of them when they came back with them.
Yeah.
It was like,
yeah,
pop,
she
pop.
He shot that her was, first!
That, no, that was that girl thing. It was like, oh, who's this bitch? Pop, pop. Like, it was real.
She, I mean, for all she knows,
oh, Becky with
Ada,
the good hair? Pop.
No, like, for all she knows, Ada has mind control powers and just showed back up with
her. Yeah, that's nothing. It's not about the other woman
yeah,
thing.
I don't know.
Not everything has woman. To be super sexist.
I felt... The other woman, it's not about sex. This isn't sexist. This is relationshipist. And I just
hate people who are in relationships. They're the worst.
This thing, when they're walking, holding hands down the street, and you're like, ah, break it up. I need to walk too. Can I ask a question? And how long were they in the framework?
Couple weeks,
right?
I want to say.
So why did they not?
Probably a little bit longer than May for several weeks as they were perfecting the framework, and then them. I think I want to say it was a little over a week because then there was that mission, and then the LMD scare that was going on, and then I want to say that they Simmons and Daisy were in the framework for about 10 days.
Why didn't they grow like facial hair or? Why isn't May like covered in leg hair?
The superior was charged
grooming
with
them?
Shaving everyone. I don't know. Neither here nor there. well, we've still got a lot to talk about tonight, and we are running out of time. So I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you, and it is the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. It keeps the lights on. It keeps us at these fancy desks. And we absolutely love that we also have an international audience. You guys are the best. And if you leave a comment, you might even get a shout out on the show.
Yes, real quick. Thank you, Serpentina Lynn, Guppy66, Anara Gillock, Invisitrip, Mrs. Groot, Phil Coulson's left hand, what?
He's back!
He's back!
we don't have time to read this.
Oh.
Too bad. well, folks, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. I, Phil Coulson's left hand, making a special reappearance for the finale. The second half of this season just hasn't been the same without me, or have I been there all along? Because I don't know if you've noticed, been too busy signing autographs with my five fingers to listen to the after show and watch the latest episode. But I'm back, baby, in real life. Or, I mean, in the show, in the framework. So, I mean, not really back, but still. For a few moments, I was free. I was one with my Phil again. sure did give me up in the end. Yes. Did I spend way too much time burning pictures of the thing Phil chose over me? May? Yes. Did I cry into my Ben and Jerry's? Yes. But that fake life we shared together was glorious. Almost as glorious as me. Adios, After Buzzers. Till we meet again.
Oh, Phil Coulson's left hand. You are the man.
Thank you also to Anakin, J.K. Gatsby, and the Master of Tasks. Yes. Thank you, guys. I know that we talked about doing fan fiction on the show as a reward. There's still three of us that made that promise. we'll be doing that next week during the finale.
Next week. And we'll give you a warning beforehand so you can skip it if you'd rather not indulge.
Maybe we'll just do it at the end of the episode.
But
spare everybody.
Thank you guys so, so much. Ooh, it really is. Feelings. It's the highlight of my week. So thank you guys so, so much.
Keep letting us up on Twitter and on iTunes and in the YouTube comments, all those places, so we can keep the conversation going.
For sure.
Let's
so,
keep going.
So talking about Coulson just now, Coulson and May, guys. You mentioned it earlier that they kind of missed each other because LMD May and Coulson had a lot of great development, and he's dancing around the issue of letting her know.
I came at you, didn't I?
And he's like, no? And I think the thing that he's really dreading, the thing that made me laugh, was that he drank the bottle without her.
Well, it's also that he was receptive to it, and now he has lost that, and he was actually receptive to it, which is hard for Coulson. So it's just interesting that, you know, May doesn't even think that that's a possibility. Like, she hasn't even broached that. She's not getting a sense for that. She's not catching his little hints.
They haven't had a whole lot of time to process where they're at as friends or as a potential couple, because he had these interactions with LMD May.
Which made him think about, like, where he was and where in relation to her. And,
and
like,
then he got Phil thrown into that into Belinda. And then he got thrown into the framework, and their lives were completely separate, and they were very different people. And now they've come back together again, and they're both trying to catch up because they left off at different places. And so trying to figure out where to reconnect at that point is a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing if you're seeing, like, a person you've been friends with for a long time, but you haven't seen them in like years. It can be difficult trying to catch up with that type of person too. And that's just a friend, somebody you may or may not be romantically inclined with, that like obviously has different experiences with those feelings than you do. Like, it can be really tough trying to come back into a point of alignment with that. So, and has no way of figuring out how to even broach that subject, let alone during a life and death scenario where they're being attacked by an army of robots and getting shot at with torpedoes. So yeah, probably not the best time to have a relationship talk.
There's like 4 minutes left for us to talk about this, because we also have news and gossip to get to.
Can we
talk about Ghost Rider's return?
Yes, because
we need to talk about this. And we also barely even touched on, like, Talbot shows up, and he's like, Talbot's like 6 episodes behind.
He's
on, like,
still dealing with
attacking.
The LMD stuff when all of the LMDs are gone.
Talbot, we dealt with that stuff in, like, February.
Guy, we're over it.
We've been in the framework for, like, 5 weeks. So at the end of the episode, Robbie, like, we see the Doctor Strange portal open up
and Robbie Reyes comes back from whatever hell dimension he sent Eli to, and just walks in like a boss with his chain.
Now, I have some questions.
So many questions.
I'm very excited to have, like, Ghost Rider back on the show. One, because I'm just looking forward to the final battle between him and Ada. Everything that implies. We'll get the answer about the soul, probably.
Well, and I'm looking forward to his connection with Daisy, too, because, like, she was in a really bad state when he first met her, and, like, she's been through a lot now, but she's kind of back to her old self.
Yeah, but that all being said, I have an issue with, like, there better be a good explanation for why now.
Yeah.
It better not just be because. I need it not to be like a Deus Ex Machina, like, he showed up at just the right moment.
Hasn't Ophelia done enough
right now
to deserve a Ghost Rider appearance? Like, she's on the verge of destroying the world.
No, but I'm just saying the show is better than that.
In terms of, like,
just like
Ghost Rider coming in, he just doesn't want it to be a Deus Ex Machina. He wants a good narrative.
Yeah.
Not a narrative contrivance, but, like, a good narrative reason why it took him so long to come back from that other dimension.
Yeah, because, like, it makes it... There's been a lot of rumors about, like, is ABC developing a Ghost Rider TV show for Robbie Reyes?
I would watch the shit out of that.
And I would love that. And there's theories that, like, we're going to get, like, it as a mid-season show, sort of how we had Agent Carter in previous years, which would be great. But part of how that was, like, we originally speculated that was going to work was that they put Ghost Rider in this, like on ice, like, off in this hell dimension. We were like, you just, like, bring him back at any time. But if we bring him back now and we don't have those moments to deal with, like, there better be a good reason besides just we wanted him back for the finale. I need there to be a justification for why he came back at the perfect moment.
Maybe because at that point in time, Ada starts using the Darkhold or I don't know.
The Darkhold is still around. So, and we know the Superior/maybe MODOK was reading it. I love
that so much.
That's such a I mean that would make sense rather than like spending so like half the season building up towards this mysterious figure.
I love that we were like he's just some schmuck and he turns into MODOK.
I think we even so theorized great. That it might have been MODOK behind like all the stuff that was going on when we were leading up to the superior. It was one of our theories, but like then we got to the superior.
And we're like, boo, he's just a guy.
He's just some Russian, like, weightlifter.
He's just so two-dimensional.
but he was reading the Darkhold. He's now a machine, so theoretically his intelligence is enhanced. Ada's been reading the Darkhold. Like, they could have tripped... Effectively, that is an acceptable excuse to me. If they, like, tripped a wire and opened the portal Robbie gets back.
You know what they haven't paid off yet? And maybe this is better suited to predictions. But weren't we supposed to get Graviton?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. They said in interviews that this arc was going to
resolve that. Or, yeah. like, have some payoff for it. Yeah. I was expecting that to be done within the framework. Maybe it still is because we have Mac and Yo-Yo in the framework. Maybe they have to deal with Graviton in some way, or maybe Ada decides to give herself Gravitonian power.
I will not be satisfied if the Graviton payoff is at all connected into the framework. That doesn't count. We put a Graviton in a box on our Earth, and I need to know what's going on with that guy.
I agree.
Not a what if version of him. That one.
I agree. I'm just so happy Robbie's back.
Sid Nellis Pumpkin says he's like, he's just a guy. 3 weeks later, he's just a head in a jar.
That would be funny if there's also no payoff for that either. Like, we're like, he's MODOK! And yeah, the jar gets crushed, and we're like, oh no.
People are like, oh yeah, Graviton. If Graviton is our cliffhanger, also acceptable.
Yeah.
I just, like, they teased me with an explanation, with a payoff, and I need it, because we've been yelling about it since season one of this podcast.
I was going to say, I think he's going to be the teaser for what's gonna happen.
Well, speaking of that, do we have any final thoughts on this episode before we move into some news and gossip?
We talked really quick about Talbot, and I think that Talbot's only appearance and the reason for his appearance was to confirm Mace's death, because we still kind of were like, and then Mace is
desecrated his body to make it look like Quake did it.
Exactly. And so now we knew that, and that was the only confirmation. Other than that, it was like kind of filler because nothing specifically happened with Talbot, and I think
SHIELD headquarters also got a huge, giant explosion in it, so.
But Talbot didn't have no part in that.
No, like there were no answers.
Yeah, and now he filled in those blanks, and that was it.
Yeah, and SHIELD is a very public government agency again.
It is.
So if there's an explosion in SHIELD headquarters, it's a big deal.
It is,
yeah.
An unexplained explosion in SHIELD headquarters done by what we can perceive as the former director. Yeah, that's a big deal. All right, guys, we need to move on into some really quick news and gossip.
Really quick. We don't even need the soundbite for this. Thank you, though, Neil. There are rumors from reliable sources, specifically at Deadline, that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be renewed for season 5. Hmm. Huzzah!
It has not been officially announced yet, and that's the main thing. But this is the most optimistic news we've had, I want to say, for the entire season.
Yeah.
Because especially since so much of the season felt like an emotional, cathartic wrap-up season. And we were like, we don't know, especially since there's been so much changing in terms of the actual network at ABC. Yeah. So I think this is very promising news, and I'm going to keep my fingers crossed.
Yep. Well, we will keep you guys up to date if there are any announcements before next week's show. But I think we've been predicting all episodes. So, Neil, play us out.
Thank you so much, Neil. We really appreciate it. Thank you for staying late, too. And thank all of you guys on the live chat for staying late, too. Zach, where can people go if they want to find you?
You guys can find me on all the places on the internet at ThatZachWilson. That's Zach with a C-H. Also, check out the Doctor Who and the Leftovers after shows at AfterBuzz TV. On the Popcorn Talk, Sci-Fi Weekly is going on a hiatus for some retooling over the summer and rescheduling, but we did a Guardians of the Galaxy review with Haley O'Connor and Christian Blatt. So we'll check out our thoughts on that movie.
Tehran.
They can find me in Ophelia's arms picking up the pieces that Fitz left on the ground.
Whispering sweet nothings in her ear.
I love you, Ophelia. And who am I? I am Tehran. Literally at IamTehran. Find me. Tell me what you think. Love to hear from each and every one of you. Especially you, Ophelia.
Again, you guys can follow Jesse at JessKlein1. And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. And I will be on the search for the Darkhold. Thank you guys so, so much for staying up late to watch us live. You guys are the absolute best. We love you. And we will see you all next week for the series. Hopefully not series finale, but season finale.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.